Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by 1,000 miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. And now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, JB and Tommy.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jamie Jordan, and this is a sort of regular edition of Gaming Uncensored. We can't do every week to save our lives. We just can't. And of course, Tommy's sitting over there. What's on the show this week, dude?
We're going to talk about AI because it's something that we haven't really talked about much yet. And there's a story this week that's not actually even a big story, but leads into that conversation that we've been trying to have for a while. And so that'll probably be the chunk of the show today because there's more to talk about there than we're even going to get into. Just in case we get to other stuff, we do have a few other things, including Nintendo's music streaming platform, which is actually pretty cool, and Mass Effect TV series that I'm sure we both have some thoughts about. So we'll see about getting into those if we have time.
The AI discussion is going to be fun because you and I haven't talked about it, but I worked with a lot of AI. And I work with people on a weekly basis that work with a lot of AI. So that's going to be a great discussion.
Yes.
We have lots of other things going on. Big things happening on this show. First of all, we'd like to tell you that we played some games. And we sort of did. And we'll get to that in a minute. But the big announcement this week is we have a Discord
officially. Like, we've had one for a while, but it sucked. But now it's actually pretty cool.
Yeah,
so we gotta thank Gio and CO for pushing us on that. If you heard the last show and heard his segment, we said, yeah, heck, let's try it. And like, it just happened and it's cool. And so, thank you, Gio, and everybody else that's over there participating. We've got a whole crew of people over there participating. So,
everybody that's still on the Facebook, Sam, I'm looking at you.
Yeah, we need to get Sam over there.
You need to get your butt over there because there is major discussion happening all the time. I don't know about you, sir, but it's kind of one of those things we always talk about, how both of us have like 18 tabs open all the time. Well, now Discord's open all the time. I check it like 4 times a day just to see what's going on. And there's all kinds of cool discussion over there. Gio has been playing games over there. We've had game streaming going on over there. Discussions about TV shows, music. You had a nice little bit last week talking about Quincy Jones, which I thought was cool. It's really cool. I'm not saying that we're any bigger fans of Discord than we were, but it helped us hang out with you guys, and that's what we want to do.
Yes.
So,
for anybody that wants to join us over at the Discord, we'll stick a link up on the show notes and on the website that you can get over there easily and hang out with us. If we think about it, we'll try to put it on the socials as well.
Yes.
Definitely on Gaming Uncensored, and so go by there. And while you're there, you can take a look at the Patreon supporters. Big thanks to Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavosh, Chad, Zeke, Chris, Brigham, Sam, Andrew, Luik, Logan, Liz, Jordan, Gio, and Derek. Again, we got Derek added to that list as well, which is fun because he's also over there on our Discord, which is cool.
I, I totally forgot to tell you off mic before we started, so I'll just say it now. We're supposed to say something for Derek.
Yep. I'm trying to remember what it was. Let me look at the Discord, because he posted it on the Discord.
In our best broadcaster voice, yes. I think we're supposed to say, like, three words.
Which I've been talking for the last hour and a half already, because I had a class right before this, so my voice is already shot. But, you know, yeah. we'll go with it.
And I'm a guy with cerebral palsy, so my voice is always shot.
But we do have broadcasting degrees, believe yes, it or not. But
we do.
Yeah. Man, what was it?
I believe we're supposed to say number one and number two.
I think that's right, like a top 40 countdown kind of thing. I'm terrified to whatever Derek is doing with it.
Yes.
It's going to be amazing and horrifying all at the same time.
So should we just do that right now?
Give it to him. So yeah, go ahead.
Number one.
Sorry, you're gonna have to do it again because I started laughing before you were done.
What?
I started laughing before you were done, so you gotta do it again. I gotta not laugh this time. I just wasn't expecting it like that. I was like full Rocky voice. Like, oh, you just you caught me off guard. So sorry, I'll back up from the mic. I'll let you get another chance.
I probably can't do it now. Okay, here we go. All right, let's see if I can do it again. Number one.
that was something. All right. So do I do number two?
You're supposed to do number two.
Did we just do two?
Yeah. Okay. Number one, number two.
Yeah. Do you remember this thing that Dr. Lee had us do where we like, before we did broadcasting voice thing, you had to like bend over, like let all the saliva pull up in your mouth. I'm thinking back of all of our things I never do anymore. I never do vocal warm-ups or anything. Like, I mean, obviously we do this podcast, but we are trained on how to do all this stuff from nearly 20 years ago that I remember almost none of. So anyway, here we go. Number two. That was terrible. I apologize how terrible that was. It should work.
Let me just give him one more. Number one.
It's really like channeling Macho Man Randy Savage there. It's pretty fantastic.
I thought you would like it.
All right. So, Derek, if that doesn't work for you, let us know, and we will miserably try to do something else. Hopefully that'll get us there.
We have to explain to people the reason we're so excited about everything that's going on now is that what is happening now is how this show started.
Yes.
We had such a vibrant community. People always talking. We had so many segments we could not play. Like, we were literally, there was a point there that we did a 3-hour show every week, and we had to put two segments in every show because we had more segments than we could play. That's how this show was built.
Yes.
And it feels like we're coming back to that, and I am so excited.
Yes. Me too, which is super fun. And on that note, guess what? We have a segment. Drop in yet another segment this week. This one from our boy Ty. So we're also hearing from people we haven't heard from for a while. So we will let Ty talk to us for just a second, and then we will talk back to him and get into everything else. So without further ado, here is Ty.
Hey, this is Ty. I'm driving home from Portland. It's raining, and I listening to your show. Just heard Duff's message that he left you guys and said I'd leave you one of my own. I recently played a game that I'm calling in to recommend. It's called Deadcraft. If you subscribe to PlayStation, it's in that library. Kind of a hidden gem in my opinion. I really enjoyed it. I got the platinum on it. It's a lot of fun. It's not the best balance, and there are a couple of bottlenecks in the game. But, like I said, as far as hidden gems go, it's probably the most fun I've had in a game in a long time. So I just wanted to call in and recommend that. I hope you guys are doing good. Take care.
So there's nothing I love more than a good game recommendation, and especially of a game that I've never heard of. Right. And so I immediately have to go pull it up on Steam and go, what the crap is this Deadcraft thing? And it's like, I don't know, I'm just watching a video for it now, but it has a very kind of Walking Dead kind of visual style to it. And at least in the cutscenes, looks like it has like planting and crafting and then like killing zombies and like Stardew Valley meets Minecraft meets The Walking Dead, maybe. I don't know. Looks kind of fascinating to me.
That's very fascinating. We so have to finish The Walking Dead.
Don't we, man?
We really do. Like, I that's one of those we have to finish. There's nothing better than a great game recommendation, because let's face it, we have 8 zillion games that we'll never play.
Yes.
But one of the guys over at the Discord, I can't believe I just said that, actually brought up the point, and I can't remember who it was. Maybe you can open it and look it up. I would, but it would screw up the shot, and it would take me 20 minutes to get back to it. One of the guys was talking about, it's not really about playing the games, it's about collecting them. And I was like, I think that's where we are at this point. we have all these games that we're never going to have time to get to, but it's fun to collect them.
Yes. You open up your Steam library and go, in A Different Life, look at all the games I could play.
Yeah.
But it's not, it's not the life we have. A good game recommendation is always appreciated. So, by the way, I just, on The Walking Dead, like, I loved The Walking Dead until I didn't. And then my interest for it just straight off a cliff. Like, just.
Okay. Yeah. I agree, because I was hanging out with our buddy Drew the other day, and I told him that we were playing Call of Duty, and he was like, dude, have you played Zombies yet? And I was like, I'm just not, I'm not into it, which I'm going to have to try at least a little bit, because I watched the Angry Joe review and he said it was really, really, really good. he is one of those guys, I love to watch that dude, because if something's really bad, he tells you. And basically what he got out of Call of Duty was, yeah, it's pretty good. Which is exactly the way we feel. It's not great, but it's pretty good.
Yeah.
And apparently it falls off a cliff at the very end. And so now I'm not super motivated to play it. He's like, you get to, like, there's all these cool missions, and then you get to the end and it's like, what the crap is this? So I'm kind of like, okay, I'll get back to that when I get back to that. But
yeah.
I'm not really into the whole zombie thing, with the exception of The Last of Us. And I feel like we need to finish the Walking Dead Telltale game. Other than that, like, I can walk away from the Walking Dead.
Yeah, and it's such a bummer, because I never finished the TV show. I never finished the comic book. I haven't finished the Telltale games. I'm not really interested in any of the other games, but the Telltale games are really good. Yeah. And the world was so great for so long. And then now I'm having to force myself to like get interested in it. Yeah. I don't know if I should like go back and rewatch the TV show or like reread the comics.
You know what would happen? Like, I have like 40 issues of the comic left. Like, I read most of it. And you know what would happen if you did any of that? You would start watching, and it would become a binge thing. And either one of us would come back to the other one and go, this is so good, I don't know why we stopped.
Right.
You know, like that.
Which would be very dangerous.
Yeah. It would be, because we don't have time. I was talking the last show about considering paying for Apple TV. Now my free trial's up, and I didn't actually finish either one of the shows that I was watching. And so I'm trying to justify to myself that I can afford to pay for Apple TV on top of everything else that I'm paying for. Like, there's just so much stuff to watch, And I'm not a go back and watch stuff guy. Like, at most, I'll go back and watch something twice.
Yeah.
And I know people that that's all they do. They go back and watch the shows they already love. I'm not that guy. I want to see what's new and what's good out there. And so I have a hard time going back to The Walking Dead, even though for years on this show, I told you Kirkman is a genius because he is.
Yeah, it's fabulous.
But I'm just not there.
Yep, me neither. And I wish I was because I really enjoyed it. But, you know, we move on and other things are cool. And so we've gotten, it feels pretty solidly out of like the zombies are everything phase, which was pop culture for quite a while, 10 years ago or whatever it was. And so the Last of Us being the like exception of like, when is season two coming? Oh my goodness, give me season two of The Last of Us. And it's so tangentially zombies anyway. Like, it's
right,
zombies are kind of there, kind of.
Well, that's kind of what the deal was with The Walking Dead back in the day. It wasn't really about the zombies,
right?
It was about the people, and
for sure,
yeah.
But there were a lot more zombies in The Walking Dead than there were in The Last of Us, especially the adaptations, comparatively. So anyway, that's neither here nor there, but a fascinating little conversation that pops up from that anyway. So thank you, Ty, for the voicemail. If you would like to send us a voicemail, you can do that at
509-GAME-210. Yeah, that surprised me for some reason. I have no idea.
I like to sneak it in there.
Yeah. 509-GAME-210, and we will play it on this show.
For sure. All that said, before we get into the news, we talked a little bit before we fired up the mics that we just haven't played a whole lot of anything. But we have played a little bit of Final Fantasy, a little bit of Black Ops. So anything you want to mention on those before we get into other discussion?
So you've talked a lot on this show about nostalgia. And I think what I love about Black Ops is the whole nostalgia thing, because I played a mission the other day where you go into a black tie fundraiser for Governor Bill Clinton, and he's like standing there, like shaking hands, and there's posters everywhere. And I'm like, wow, this is trippy, man. This is trippy. And Black Ops made me do something that I don't really hate doing. I was playing along, having a good time, and I decided to look something up, and they're like, you need money in this game, and here's how you open all the safes. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to go back to the safe house and figure out how to do that, because it's a lot of money if you open a safe, and you can in my case, you can upgrade the character, which makes it harder for people to kill you. And, you know, I have no reflexes, so anything that I can do to make it so that I can take more bullets is awesome. And so I started working on one of the safe house puzzles, and that took, like, literally an hour. And it's one of those things that if you don't have a YouTube walkthrough, I don't know how anybody ever figures it out. Like, I have no idea, because it was like it's one of those things where it's like, okay, there's a boiler room down here, and you turn this knob twice, and you turn that knob three times, and then you turn on the pilot light, and then you go upstairs, and you play the piano, and this door opens, and then you get a black light and you look at the walls and so they're like, who figures this out? And so that's my main issue with the side stuff on Black Ops. It's good, but like, you have to have a guide to find any of it.
Yeah.
And so now I'm going back and replaying missions that I've already played. So, like, upgrade my character, and it's kind of a pain.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of obnoxious. And I think I'm in agreement that Black Ops is pretty good. Like, it's not great. Like, I'm not all of a sudden going to become a Call of Duty guy every year. But, yeah, it's pretty good.
And that's really nice to have a good Call of Duty every once in a while, because I don't want it every year, because I don't have time for it every year, right? But like, to have that, like what we talked about in the last show, just scratching that itch that I didn't realize that I had but felt really good for a little bit was really nice. Yeah. And I'm probably not going to have that itch again for a couple of years. But in a couple of years, to be Black Ops, you know, 27, whatever, how often they put these things out at this point. Like, to be able to scratch that itch again, sounds great. I'm still not interested in Modern Warfare. I'm still not interested in zombies. I'm still not interested in, like, all the other stuff. But, like, you gave me this one campaign that's at least somewhat interesting and, like, is nostalgia, because we grew up in the 90s. And so being that connection to the world we grew up in, it's kind of fun. So, yeah, every once in a while, we'll take it. Not Call of Duty fanboys, but every once in a while, not a bad thing.
Absolutely. And we have to talk about what you're doing on Final Fantasy, because it's so weird. it's so weird. And it's weird to the point that I remember back in the day. Do you remember back when we started in the office in your house? Do you remember the day that we had Nate come over? Do you remember that show, Nate, your buddy Nate?
I remember doing that show. I don't remember the specifics of it.
What stuck with me is that you got into a discussion with Nate about Dead or Alive Beach Volleyball.
That tracks.
And then when he wasn't there, like the next show, we talked about how creepy it was that, like, he was playing Dead or Alive Beach Volleyball. And, like, Final Fantasy has some of that creep. Like,
it does.
It's a little creepy. Like, I feel like a dude in space, but kind of like it's all dark and like I have to look down and make sure I'm not sitting in my underwear. it's kind of awkward.
Yes. The primary time that I play games at this point, in the very, very, very small windows of time I have to play games, is at night after the kids go to sleep, and knock on wood that they stay asleep, because that is not often the case. But if both the kids actually stay asleep, I get maybe an hour, maybe two, that the sexy sidekick and I are hanging out in the family room watching some TV, and I can fire up a game and play it for a little bit. And so while I'm playing Final Fantasy almost all the time, the sexy sidekick is sitting on the couch 10 feet away from me. And I did catch myself the other day. I don't remember what part it was, but somewhere, you know, like looking at the screen and then kind of looking over my shoulder and going, I hope she's really into this TV show right now. Because if she glances over at the screen with this very scantily clad CGI woman here, she's going to be like, what in the world are you doing over there? So I'm just like, all right, come on, get through it. Yep, awkward, great, there. Okay, cool. Now we're back to anthropomorphic dog and I'm breaking the thread. You know, like, that works fine. But like, it is a little like, I mean, it's not a little cringy. It is super cringe. Like, Final Fantasy, and to be fair, the original Final Fantasy VII is super cringy. We had a different sensibility in the 90s about cringiness, I think. But man, it is real cringy at times. And that doesn't make me like it any less. But I wouldn't miss it if a little bit of the cringe wasn't there.
It's like, and you're right, it may be our age. But it's like they were trying to be weird.
Yes.
Like, it's like they're trying to be weird.
They're trying to appeal to our 13-year-old selves, right, which is what Final Fantasy VII appealed to when it originally came out. But now we're 40 and it's different.
Yeah. It's still great, but man, it's weird.
We just got to the Golden Saucer.
Yes.
Fantastic. I've been waiting the whole time to get to the Golden Saucer. Like, now we're not having any time to play it, and it's eating. I fired it up like two nights ago. I had it sitting on the screen to like hit to broadcast, and baby boy starts crying. And I'm like, okay, it's cool. Just go get back to sleep real quick. It's cool. Go upstairs, you know, rock him back to sleep, lay him down in the crib. I'm going to come down here, and I get back downstairs, and then like something else happened. And then it's like 10:15, and I'm like, I can't fire it up now. I got to get up two times in the night. I got to be up by 6:30 in the morning. Like, it's done. And I just sat there and kind of looked at it for a minute going, like, weeping. Like, there's the screen that I could have hit broadcast, and I just never even got past that point. So,
and it's one of those things like I hate being, and I bet you feel the same way. It's when we get to this point with something that I hate being an adult, because what both of us want to do, especially where we are in that game, is just like call in on Monday and not tell anybody that we're not sick and just lock the door and just play for like 8 to 10 hours. Yes. That's what we both really want to do, but we're too much adults to allow ourselves to do that. But that's where we are in the game, that like we've seen our first weapon, and like I nearly came a glue.
I know
that first weapon popped up. I was like, yeah.
Yeah, I legit giggled. Like I was the only person, the sexy psychic wasn't sitting on the couch at that point, so I could get away with like a legit giggle. But I like legit giggled when that weapon popped out of the water. I was like, oh yeah, that's also what I've been waiting for. Like, just it's all coming together now. So
like we're at that point, like if somebody would give us like 10 hours, some alcohol and some Doritos, we would be in a really good space.
Yes.
Yeah.
For sure. So it's great. And so I don't even know who it was, whoever it is that's listening to the show, because I'm sure somebody that's listening to the show pulled up the chat on the YouTube while I was streaming recently and just put, really? You're still playing this game? Which I thought was very appropriate. So whoever that was that's listening right now, thank you for making me chuckle. While I'm sure I was sitting on a pause screen for 20 minutes because I'm also working on other stuff while I'm sitting there and doing a billion things at the same time, which Jamie knows, watching all those long paused videos.
Which is, I'm very thankful that my bandwidth is fast enough that I can see the thumbnails and control until the pause is over.
Yes. Yeah. I am thankful for that as well. So, all that said, should we talk about some news?
We should. Yes.
We should get into some newsy elements. And so, as we tease, we're going to talk about AI and the inevitable integration of AI into the gaming space. We had a story several shows back at this point, that was about voice actors that were on strike at the time. And part of the concern of that was the ability to utilize AI tools to mimic voices, to create, dialogue in a game, for instance, that wasn't ever said by the voice actor, that you could go in and use machine learning to recreate that voice and say blah, 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 all that stuff, which is stuff that is already happening and is going to happen more, and it's just going to, which is why this discussion is worth having. This is the newer story. This is from Sony. So really quickly, just the background of this story, but we'll get into the bigger umbrella picture of kind of AI and gaming. But this story is about localization and the process of taking a game, say, from Japan and localizing it to the United States or anywhere else around the world, from one place to another. And that's a complex process. Not only is there translation, but there's also rhythm and timing and lip sync and all this kind of stuff that goes with that localization process. And Sony's put out a patent, as we talk about random patents a lot on this show. They sometimes turn into something, a lot of times they don't, but Sony's put out one that is a localization process that is about using text-to-speech to naturally create better flow so that you get better transitions. It's less awkward. It's stuff that already happens, but it's a person that currently does it. Like, somebody is hired and paid to go through this process of localizing the game, and this is a way to automate that process using AI, machine learning, and all that kind of stuff in order to do it. This is something that exists well outside the bounds of gaming, as we all well know. AI is something that we hear about in daily life, and some of us deal with in daily life. And so it is becoming a conversation across everything. And so it makes sense for us to have a conversation about it here as it applies to gaming. And so with that, and kind of the big umbrella picture of that, we're just going to get into what this may mean for gaming. And my like quick answer is I have no clue, and I am so torn on this issue. Like, it's so complex, and I can see a lot of different sides to it, but it is a thing, and we're going to be dealing with it for a long time.
And your answer of "I have no clue" is the correct answer. Like, I'm frustrated by these voice actors that are pissed. I understand why they're pissed, but the people that get frustrated don't understand that AI is learning every day, and that seems scary that it's learning every day, but it's not good enough, and it's not going to be good enough for a while, that these people are going to lose their jobs. I don't care what Sony does. Like, I guess the gaming space would be the space where somebody like Sony could do a crappy AI localization and just put it out and go here. And so I sort of get that. But I use enough AI to know that if you don't pay attention to it, you can't leave it. You have to babysit it, because if you let it do its thing, it will literally lie to you. It will literally, like, if you go to an AI tool and put in a prompt asking it about Jamie Jordan in a wheelchair and Gaming Uncensored, it will just make stuff up. Like, you have to know what is true about what you're asking it and what is not, because it will make stuff up. And so, yeah, AI is really cool. It's an awesome tool. It can do all kinds of things. It saves lots and lots of time, especially for programming and that type of stuff, because it can write code. It can do all of that. But you still have to have a person watching it, and it's going to be that way for a long time.
So two responses to that, because I think you're generally correct, and I'll share a little bit of my experience with AI as well in just a second. One, you're absolutely correct that currently it does things poorly a lot of the time, and it takes a lot of effort to do that. But the thing I don't know is how much longer that's going to be the case. Like, it is that way until it's not.
Yeah.
And that's all speculation. Sam Altman, who is the head guy over at OpenAI, which is ChatGPT, is talking about, he thinks we're going to be at the point of like human level intelligence next year, which I think is BS. I don't think
of course it's BS. He's trying to make money. He's trying to sell it.
But he is the guy that's going to make money in the process and when it gets there and all that stuff. And that's what he's working towards. He is working towards the AI getting to that point. And so even if it's BS, that's going to happen next year. That's the effort, right? That's what we're trying to accomplish. Look. And so this is something that it's not true in 2024. I think it could be true in 2026 or 2027, or at least by 2030. That's not that far away. Like, people who are worried about having a job in a career that they have worked in their whole lives because of the potential of AI coming along to take those jobs is, I think, a significant worry. We just don't know. Again, it's that unknown part of it. But I think it could happen a lot sooner than we anticipate.
I think you're right, because, again, it is a computer and it can learn faster than we can.
Yes.
But here's my thing, and this is why he's a great example of somebody that scares me, because he's actively trying to get it there.
Yes.
And then you have somebody like Elon Musk, and like, we've had debates about Elon, and I know you have your issues with him. I think I love the guy. I think he's a genius. But he's also the guy that's like, look, I like AI. I've got stock in AI, but we got to be careful with it, because it will, like, that's the approach that I am with. The guy that is developing it, that's like, it's going to be this smart and I'm going to make a ton of money, that guy scares me.
Yeah, I'm going to call BS on Elon Musk, because Elon Musk is the exact same person as Sam Altman in that situation. He wants to make a whole lot of money too. Well, like, that's what's in his interest. Sure,
but he's also,
he wants control. He doesn't want it to be more like safe. he wants to be the person who defines what safe is, which is like what the like battle is for right now, is who is the person that holds the keys to this. But I don't for a second think that Sam Altman's intentions or Elon Musk's intentions are any way more benevolent than each other's.
Okay.
They're all like, if we're making a comic book about 2024 and who the villains are, the rich guys who are making AI are the villains, right? Like, if we're looking at the Matrix,
I don't disagree with any of that.
Those are the people we need to be scared of.
Because I don't know the guy, so I don't disagree with any of that. Right.
But, I don't either. I'm saying this as a general statement of a single person with that power is terrifying, regardless of who that person or even what their best intents are. Even if, like, legitimately they think they are in, like, working for the betterment of humanity, one person with that power is horrifying. And that's definitely the path we're going is horrifying, but, you know, where we're at.
And the point I was trying to make is at least he said it. Like he could be full of crap.
Right. He is full of crap. Like, let me be clear. Elon Musk is as full of crap as every other one of them.
I will debate that whether he's full of crap or not, because I genuinely like the guy. But in my mind, at least he said it. And I'm okay with that.
Sure. That aside, because we don't need to get into the Elon Musk argument or anybody else. Again, I don't want to pick out Elon Musk here. I'm just saying I don't think he's any different than any of these other rich guys.
And you're probably right.
All super self-interested and want that power for whatever they see the ends of that power being. But whatever they see Bezos, Bill Gates, any of, like, go down the list of all these tech guys. I'm not trusting any of them with having the best interest of, you know, not them in mind when they're making these decisions along that line. And that's a reality of where we are. So getting back into the more nuanced discussion about the AI stuff, though, because, like, regardless of who's behind it, it is a thing and it's not going away. And we are going to be dealing with it across every industry, mine included. Like, this is a thing that has crept into music. And we have a Grammy nominated song for Record of the Year that was created through the use of AI. This Beatles track, there's a Beatles song they're probably gonna win Grammys for. It's honestly, I love the Beatles. Not the best. I mean, you can see behind me, my whole room is decorated Beatles stuff.
Right.
It's not the Beatles song. It's fine. But it's cool because they took this demo vocal recording from John Lennon and used AI to extract it, and then were able to record with George Harrison guitars from the 90s that they went back and did. Like, it's super cool, the technology. But it's also terrifying for people that rely on these industries for money. Now, in this case with the Beatles stuff, like, somebody had to do that. Like, there's still a person behind the AI, you know, pulling the lever, so to speak. But at some point, the number of people that need to be pulling the levers is going to be reduced because the process is going to get more efficient. And we're going to get to the point that it just is able to automate and do, you know, all of these different processes by themselves. And we get to the point that, like, we just have a game that was made by AI that, like, somebody said, okay, make me a fantasy game featuring a wizard and a king. And, like, AI goes, cool, here you go. And spits out the code and you fire it up and there's your game. And it's probably going to suck because this is the other part of at least where AI is right now.
Right.
And it's where it can be better. But it's not creative in the way that humans are creative because it doesn't have experience that makes it creative. Like,
can I be real honest with you? I don't think that is something that an AI can learn. I think it can fake it.
Right.
But I don't think that an AI will have, at least for the next 30 years, I don't think AI will have the ability to, quote unquote, be creative, because all of the creative stuff that you see so far is an extrapolation or some sort of variation of something that's already out there, because it can only work with the information that it has. And it's going to be that way for a little bit. Like you said, I would like to say 10 years, but I don't know that.
Right.
So
Yeah. The timetables on this are just, I don't think there's any use speculating about, because we have no clue. But on that point, two things really quick. I don't know that AI will ever be quote unquote creative like we think of human creativity, but it, like, people fake it all the time and are effective at it. And so, like, I don't know if it makes a difference whether or not it truly feels the emotion behind this song, or if it's just like, oh yeah, this is what, like, humans respond to. And I don't know that in a practical sense that makes any difference. And why so much of what we currently see with AI is so kitschy and trashy and awkward and like Uncanny Valley, and it's all those things, because it doesn't get it, because it's not human. I don't know. I don't have confidence that we as humans are going to hold it to a higher standard, or if we are going to dumb down our own standards collectively to match what it is giving us, because the people who are producing things know that it's a whole lot easier and cheaper to do this. And I already see it.
No,
all
I was
going to
say that's not even a question. We're going to dumb it down because that's what we do.
Of course.
That's what we're humans, and we take the path of least resistance. And
always.
Like, that's what we do, and it's horrifying.
So for my job, for my professional, one of my professional, I got many, one of which includes AI. I'll tell you about it a little bit. I don't have even told you about this, but I have an AI job that I've been working with. Yeah, I'll tell you about that in a second.
I thought I was the only one.
I'll get into that here in just a little bit. But my one of my other jobs in my teaching capacity, the marketing department, a while back, this has been a couple years ago, and so things have gotten slightly better, but still not good. But the marketing department where I work sent me some articles about production stuff. Was like, hey, can you take a look at this and just edit it, fix anything that seems weird, just make sure, like, this seems cool, we'll put it up on the website. And so they emailed me the article, and it took me 2 seconds of reading going, oh, they said ChatGPT write me an article about, you know, microphones, and this is what it spit out. And it was just awful. Like, yeah, it just both horrible. In like factual accuracy, just bad, but also in like tone and writing ability and everything else, like, it just sounds like it's AI. Like, there's a handful of catchphrases,
you know,
that you could pick out.
If you've read it, you know when you're reading something
right
from AI.
And so I was like, hey, this was obviously written by AI, can I just write you something that's better? And they were like, yeah, of course, we just don't want to do the work, you know. Like, that was it. Like, they had resourced this out to a marketing company, who the marketing company, instead of having somebody that is an expert in the field and writing good content, they said, ChatGPT write me a search engine optimized article, because that's all they cared about, was getting, you know, clicks. And it was just terrible. And I'm like, we can't put this out with our name on it and say this is representative of who we are. And so I rewrote that. And a handful of, like, that became a part of my job that wasn't supposed to be about part of my job for 6 months, as I was writing articles all the time, just fixing these ones that they were sending
me. Which, by the way, you do very, very, very well. And you've done it since we were kids. I hate that aspect of you, because you make me look like a complete idiot most of the time. You're just really good at it, and it's kind of annoying.
Yeah, it is. I get that, but for sure. But it's something that, you know, I have a propensity towards, and because of that, it drives me crazy when it's done poorly. But I say all that to say, you know, I'm a consumer of the internet, like we all are. And I just all the time now come across it, of like a story that I click on it and it takes 2 seconds to go, oh, this was AI written and it's so bad and I don't have any interest to engage with it. But it's become such a standard thing. And people like me, who have made money in the past writing things, aren't getting paid to write those things. And the quality is significantly worse because of it. But people are clicking on it, you know, like, it's getting the job done of what people want it to do, which isn't to convey information in an interesting way. It's to get people to click on links and sell Google ads or whatever it is.
You said exactly right. It gets them to click on it, because I was watching YouTube yesterday or the day before. And I don't remember what the topic was, but I picked up like 3 videos, and 2 of them were very clearly put together by AI, and you could tell by the voice, and you could, like, it was very repetitive, like there was themes of the video that in 20 minutes of the video, it repeated those three themes like four times. And like, it was not good content. But by the time I figured out, yeah, this is an AI built video that somebody wanted me to click on, they had already gotten what they wanted out of it from me.
Yeah.
Because they got me to click.
Yep. Yeah. And that's the thing. And that's where the more we are exposed to that lower quality content, because we're clicking through stuff and we go, oh yeah, yeah. At some point we just go, yeah, that's what it is, you know, and we kind of get numb to the fact that that's what content looks like at this point. And that, you know, seeps into other things. And so we're not obviously there with like AI generated games that are just dull and boring. And we're just like, ah, that's what it is. And so we just play these, but we're going to get some of that stuff. Like, it's going to happen. And while we, hopefully you and I specifically here for the purposes of this show and our own sanity are going to go, that's trash. That's horrible. We don't want to play that. We want to play something that is innovative and creative and all those kind of things. Like, it's still going to dumb down the entire industry to a degree, because like that lowest common denominator element is always going to pull everything else down when it has a foothold in whatever industry you're talking about. And so a video game is just going to pull down the quality level from the top. And I don't see any way we get around that, even with all of the good intentions of trying to say, we want to use this for the benefit of creativity and not as a replacement for it. It's still going to do that.
And I think you and I are going to have a problem in the next several years, because we do feel that way. I don't want to play trash. And I don't want to play something just because AI built it. I saw something the other day. You know, I deal with these web worlds, and a friend of mine built a web world, and the way that he did it, he had done the base programming and had AI fill it in, and it was awesome. Like, he created a new game engine and it was really cool, but it was because he was overseeing the thing, and I'm gonna do some more work on that, and I'm really excited about it. Our web goddess, he's gonna work on it. Like, we're gonna, it's a team thing, and I'm really, really excited. Can't really talk about it, but it's because this guy was there behind it, watching it, making sure that it was doing what he wanted it to do. And the problem you and I are going to have is that, much like the rest of this show, I think you and I are different.
For sure.
I think most people will be like, oh, yeah, it's good. I'm, that's an 8 out of 10 or whatever. And we're going to be the guys that are sitting there going, this is horrible. Like I joke about how every time I listen to a podcast, I listen to about 20 minutes of it and go, we can do better than that. Yeah. And I got to give somebody like Joe Rogan credit. Like, I've listened to a couple of Joe Rogan podcasts recently, and I really love the way that guy does stuff. Because I think it's the way that we do stuff for the most part, just talking. And we just didn't end up with $100 million. Like, that's all there is to it. And
details.
So all of that to say, I don't know if we are vigilant about it. I don't know that it matters, because I think we are the minority that will say, hey, this is a problem. I don't like this. Because as far as the industry is concerned, it's a win-win for everybody. It's more content for gamers. It's more cheaper content for studios. It's like, there's no chance that it doesn't go that way.
Yeah. And that's the thing where we bring it all kind of back full circle that I'm really torn about and really struggling with, because like, one of the things we know about gaming right now, we talked about on the last show, is like, the scope and scale of AAA games has made creating a AAA game risk averse, talking about Sean from Sony last time and his comments, but also that it just costs tons of money and takes tons of time. And if you could shorten the amount of time it takes and spend less money and get results that are 90% of what you were getting, you know, with more money and more time, does that open up ability to take some more risks to do something more creative in how you approach it? But does that happen at the cost of professionals not getting paid to do their job? Voice actors. Because like right now, we're not to the point where like you can just create an AI model, like voice actor that sounds naturally human, but we're getting close. There's a podcast I listen to, Pablo Torre Finds Out. I'm going to highly recommend this podcast. If you've never listened to Pablo Torre,
Pablo is great. I've not heard the show, but he's great.
Yeah. And it has so little to do with sports. Pablo Torre is ESPN personality and then lots of these on Day and Libertard's network now and all this stuff. But his podcast is very little about sports, believe it or not. Like he mentions it fairly recently, often, but it's very little about sports. He had a whole episode was about a guy who, built like a worked with an AI bot that would mimic his voice. Like he fed it lots of, you know, recordings of his voice. The bot learned his voice, and then he would just call people like he knows and try to fool them with this chat bot to like have the chat bot have a conversation with the person that like he's not a part of the conversation. Like the chat bot is completely leading the conversation, listening to what the other person says, replies to him, whatever. And it was like uncanny valley listening to it, because like the chatbot is like doesn't have the pacing right, you know, like it's slow to respond and like it just is awkward. But like he called his wife and his wife had a conversation with the bot for and like
it took her a while.
It took her a bit, like you were talking about with the video. Like it just, you're like something's amiss, but you can't quite place what it is. Like we're to that point right now. And so the idea of a developer being able to completely program a character that is voiced, that is motion captured, that is, you know, on down the line by feeding an AI bot, you know, all of this content of all the other games that exist in the world, so it knows what motion capture is supposed to look like and what pacing is supposed to sound like, and especially in something where you're not having real-time interactions that you can go in and tweak it a little bit, that doesn't seem like it's that far off. And that's not even getting into the like really like sketchy side of, I was thinking about this the other day. I don't even know why this came to my mind, but I was thinking about Metal Gear when we were talking about Metal Gear Solid Delta, how great it is to have David Hayter's voice.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about the fact that you could take AI to learn David Hayter's voice and go back to Metal Gear Solid 4 and just replace Kiefer Sutherland with David Hayter and just have it like do like David Hayter's Snake through the whole thing. Like, and that wouldn't be something that David Hayter would do, right? Like that you would use his voice, his likeness. And that's obviously against the law right now, but it is a really weird gray area. And that's why those voice actors were striking, because they wanted to make sure that that stays in collective bargaining, that like a studio can't do that. Can't say, okay, we decided we were going to add a side quest, and instead of calling so-and-so actor, making sure they're available, flying them out to the studio, you know, hiring an engineer, you know, paying for a hotel, all the stuff that we go into capturing, you know, an hour's worth, 2 hours worth of content, why don't we just have this AI bot do it for us? And it's going to sound just like it, and most people aren't going to know exactly. But that person whose voice that they are mimicking isn't going to get either compensated or compensated as much for that. And I have a big issue with that. Like they need to be compensated for their likeness. And right now it feels like we have some protection for that, but I don't know how long that exists. You know, like I don't know for how long we have that. Al Michaels, and was it Al Michaels during the Olympics that they used Al Michaels' voice via AI? Like it wasn't actually Al Michaels, but they used AI to give like Al Michaels' voiceover for production spots. That's weird. And they had his permission, like that was all above board. But like just the precedent that it sets doing that is like, that's getting into really sketchy stuff that we're going to be doing. And even if it's illegal, like somebody does it and puts out a game and makes a whole bunch of money off of it, and it goes, oh, so sorry, here's, you know, our fine or whatever. Like it just is, it's just opening the Pandora's box for all kinds of crazy stuff that's about to happen.
And the problem I have, and I feel bad about it, because you are you are a pacifist in every sense of the word. Everybody should be fair. It should be, you know, like we should all take, we should take care of people. Like that's who you are in general. And so when I've been looking at a lot of technology lately, because I had a week last week where two of my guys, Chris and Peyton, were out. Chris threw his back out. Peyton was sick, like 104 fever. And so for like 5 days, I had to like scramble. Like I had to like, okay, how am I gonna get through this next day? Who am I gonna call to help me get out of bed and get dressed and all that? And it occurred to me at some point in that 4 days, if Elon came out today and said the Tesla robot is ready and it's this much, I would consider that. And what really freaked me out was I texted with my brother that day and told him what was going on. And he was like, we're almost a Tesla robot. And I was like, ooh, that's freaky that we were both thinking the same way. So my point with all of this is I'm not a guy that says we need to like turn it off and rip it all out of the wall. Like, there are going to be some benefits to this. And for me personally, that robot is going to be a big deal when we get there, and it can help me with some things. And I don't need people. I've wanted to get into the Elon discussion with you for like 2 weeks, because if I could get that guy's ear and say, I need this, 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 and this, I do it in about 30 seconds, even though I know how you generally feel about him and other guys like him. There is benefit to this. And so I don't believe that we should unplug it all and just rip it out of the wall, and I don't think you do either.
No.
But what do you do?
And this is a big question, because and taking it back to the Elon, and I'm using that as a stand-in for place all these other guys in there as well, because in my world, like, I'm going to look at them the same, not give any one of them the benefit of the doubt in any certain way. But any one of these guys, let's create a new fictional one of these guys, billionaires, tech guys that are trying to do this stuff, as brilliant or not brilliant as they may be, and I think every one of them is on a spectrum that's different in those things, but like the idea that you would then in your house have an autonomous robot that is beholden not necessarily to you, but to the corporate interests of what makes this guy money.
I hear you.
Like, it's also terrifying. Yes, and that's the tension of all of this, right? Is that like what Elon, Jeff, Bill, whatever, like first name all these guys, right? Like whatever they are doing, a lot of it is really, really good for society, humanity in general. But it only takes one of them to be really, really bad for humanity the whole thing to blow up. And that's the whole, like, just like having any one of these people with this much power, which there's nothing we can really practically do about. Like, it is just the way the system works, how society works. Like, we could get into like all that stuff. We don't have to get into all that stuff for sure right now. But like, it is the way the thing works. But I am not like going, it is great that this one person has the power to do these things. I'm going, that's a pretty scary thing one person has the power to do these things, regardless of who that person is.
I get it. And I hear you. I understand. I get it. But like 4 days out of the last week, like I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to get in bed and or get out of bed or get dressed or get to the restroom or like sure. That's what I did for 4 days last week, and I gotta tell you, it's draining. And so I hear everything that you're saying, but if that guy, and I've sent him messages on Twitter a couple of times, if I get an email from that guy, it's like, hey man, I'm going to say, here's my situation, here's what I need, and I'm not going to feel bad about it, even though everything that you said is 1,000% correct.
Even if, and this is, I'm going crazy here, so forgive me for getting way off track here, but even if there's like a 0.1% chance that autonomous robot just decides to like choke you out in your sleep.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you're willing to like,
but, okay. I love you, man. I do. But my life, I've got this new line that I've been working with, and I don't talk about this on the air a lot because you guys don't need to hear this. There's 8 zillion bitter cripples in the world, and I don't need to be another one. You could throw a rock and hit a bitter cripple, but really, the
be
way
really mean, but
yeah, it would. It absolutely would. But the way that my life works realistically is from day to day, I am only allowed to do what another person allows me to do. Like when Chris is here during the week, I hope he doesn't hear this because this is the honest truth. When Chris is here during the week, we start at 8 o'clock. Okay? We start at 8 a.m. And you're like, okay, that's cool. But think about this. I'm up at 5:30 every morning whether I want to be or not. So when the weekend gets here and I've got Peyton, who is younger, that won't argue with me, we start at 7. Like, I'm trying to get to where I want to get in life. My life does not function around what I want to do. Yeah. It's what somebody else allows me to do. And you're right, the robot might choke me out. But at this point, like, I'd like a little more control.
Yeah.
And you know, if I have to risk that, then okay.
And, yes, for sure. And I do say all that to I'm glad that's kind of where we landed on, because I think that's an absolutely valid point. And I think that's the like what we're all dealing with in all of this, right? Is like, there are a lot of things, AI included, that are going to make our lives materially better in lots of really objective ways.
But also and could comes, be very bad.
Yes, yeah. And comes along with really high risk. And how we balance that, I don't know. So really quickly, I tell you about my side gig, because this is, you know this about me, I always have some random side gig going on too. So I found this random side gig that, like, in whatever free little time I have, I'm helping train AI to fix a lot of these problems, which is something that I feel weird about in some ways. And like, also am like,
but
okay,
they're paying you really well, because I know you and you don't do stuff. See, that's the other
true
thing. This man, it pisses me off, because whatever job that I've got that I'm doing for nothing, he found a way to get paid for it and get paid well. And it's been that way for our entire lives, and it really pisses me off. Continue.
I wish I had more of that money to show for that, but alas, here we are. But anyway, but like, my reasoning behind it, and this is flawed reasoning, I'll freely admit that, and like, part of it is just I'm getting paid for it and I find value in that, obviously. But part of my like rationale of why can I like feel really skeptical about AI and also want to do something that is helping it advance, is because I really feel like it's inevitable. And if I can do something to make it work better and get paid for that, obviously, which is a important side benefit to the whole thing. But if I can do something to make it work better, like, it's going to happen. Let's make it better. And so that's kind of my thinking of like, okay, I'm going to spend, you know, a handful of hours a week, like logging on to this portal and chatting with chatbots and then saying, here's where you messed up, here's where your reasoning is flawed, so that they get better and could potentially put more people out of work. Like, I understand that is a part of like the output of this job that I am doing, but I also feel like it's inevitable, and I also want to make the chatbots like not tell people to kill themselves, or, you know, like, those are important things that chatbots don't have, like, the context to understand why that's important without training. And that's an important thing. And so, like, part of my job is trying to make them safer for people to use, more systematically aware of context and this kind of stuff. And it's fascinating work because of that.
I can totally understand how it would be fascinating, because I use it enough to know that you can teach it. You can try to teach it all you want, but most of the time, it's not going to pick up the context that you're trying to get it in the way that you want it to pick the context up. You can explain to it, no, this means this, and here's why, and right. It'll go, okay, then we're going to do this, which is the exact opposite of what you're trying to teach it.
Right.
So, as a guy, I'll tell you exactly. I'll tell everybody out there listening why you're interested in this. I don't know that you've even thought about it to this point, but this man, for as long as I've known him, I make jokes about how he's always got something in his hand. He's always working on something. He's got something in his hands right now. He's probably playing video games. We're doing this show. That's what he does.
I'm like, literally adding a Discord widget to the website right now.
For you, that job is a puzzle. It's a puzzle for you to solve in your brain. And can I teach this thing to act the way that I think it should act? And that's what's driving you. Yes, the money helps, but it's more about the puzzle of...
Definitely.
Yeah.
It is very much puzzle solving, which is something I thoroughly enjoy. We've talked about a lot of the show. I love puzzle games and so on and so forth. But there's also a part, like, circling back to what we were talking about, if I could help, like, that robot in your house someday choose not to, like, strangle you in your sleep, I'd also like to do that, you know. And again, that's an absurd example. I know that's an absurd example, but I wanted us to get to that point to talk about it in that way, because it helps me make peace with the decision.
Well, I need to make peace with it. I agree 1,000% with everything that you're saying. Essentially, I for some reason I don't think Elon is quite as evil as you think he is. Can I
clarify there just really quick?
Okay.
Because I don't think Elon or Sam Altman or any of the other ones are evil. I think they're self-interested.
Well, everybody. I mean, like, we all are. But,
of course, but I don't have the power to destroy the world in my self-interest.
Well, okay.
That's the thing.
But that's the caveat.
I don't want anybody to have that power, because everybody is self-interested. And that's the disconnect that you can't bridge. So, just to make that clear.
I hear you. I hear you 1,000%. The thing that kills me about this whole discussion is, and we gotta go because you gotta be somewhere. But the thing that kills me about this whole discussion is, and you and I haven't sat in a room and talked to each other for more than 20 minutes in a really long time. But like, the thing that I am struggling with in my life and have been for a really long time that nobody has known until today is that as good as my life is, I don't have a whole lot of control. And the older I get, it's driving me crazy.
Yeah.
It's driving me nuts. Because I can't get in the car and go to Tootin' Totem and get a drink or go get some ice cream or anything without asking somebody else if it's okay if I do that, right? And so my thing with the robot and everything else, like, I'll take whatever risk there is. Give me more control. That being said, everything that I've got is only by the grace of God. And the only way that I am able to function every day is because of him. And I know that, and I feel guilty for wanting more control like everybody else does. But I do, and I can't reconcile that. So if somebody hands me a robot and says it might kill you, but it also might really help you, I'm going to take it.
And I think that is perfectly valid. And this, you know, it is the struggle of the whole thing. But I totally get that. I totally respect. I mean, it's, I don't deal with that the same way that you do, but yeah. I've been around you enough to understand, like, yeah, I 100% get it. And that's, that's the struggle. And there's, you know, places where it will improve people's lives so much, like it has the potential to do there. And there's also, at the exact same time, that's going to be doing that, destroying other people's lives, doing other things. And it is inevitable, as far as I can tell at this point. And like, I don't mean to like literally throw my hands up in the air, but if you're watching the video, I'm literally throwing my hands up in the air, like, what do we do? Like, helping as much as we can and hoping it goes a direction that is net benefit for humanity or kills us all quickly, right? Like, that's the other, like, if you're going to kill us all, just do it fast.
That was the other thing that I was going to bring up. And I probably would have been a little more flippant about this before you had kids. But like, I really have that old man thing going on where it's like, okay, yeah, I might end the world, but it won't do it in my lifetime. So what do I care? Like, I don't have kids. And the only thing that stops me is you have kids.
Yeah.
And so when I say something like that, I think about your kids.
Yep.
And it's like, okay, that's kind of sucky.
Kids really screw up your sense of nihilism. That's
it really does. Like,
that's the reality.
Because I have nieces and all of that, but like, they're all older and they're like, I don't worry about them so much. When I have that thought, I think of your kids because they're both under 10 and you know.
For sure.
It's freaky. It really does. It's screws with you. Speaking of which, you've got to go pick up a kid. So.
I do got to go pick up a kid. That got super heavy, but that was a really good conversation. Yes. And we didn't get to like anything else we were supposed to talk about. Let me mention just super briefly on releases, which seems trite. Everything else we just talked about, but worth mentioning really quick. Lego Horizon is out as of tomorrow. We're recording this on the 13th. It comes out November 14th. Currently a 70 on Metacritic. So, but it's Lego.
What I figured.
And it's Aloy, and like, if nothing else, Genevieve is gonna love it, and so we're gonna play it. Farming Simulator 25. I just love that that's a thing. Death Stranding Shadow dropped on Xbox, so if you have an Xbox and been looking at Death Stranding and thinking, I can't play that, now you can. So,
twice you in a month he said Shadow dropped on the show.
And then Mario and Luigi Brothership is out, which is just hard for me to say for some reason. 79 on Metacritic, which again, about where I would expect that to be. And another one that Genevieve and I will have to play together. I'm super excited. Really? I didn't even mention that she and I rolled credits on Ninja Turtles.
I saw it because you said it's on the Discord.
Yeah.
So, I'd say again, folks, there's lots and lots of stuff going on the Discord. I know we say that a lot. This time we really mean it.
Yes.
Because all of our, everybody that has been around the show for a really long time is slowly migrating over there, and there's all kinds of discussion and things going on over there. So you definitely want to go over there and check that out. We are not killing the Facebook.
No.
We will still check the Facebook and be involved over there. But to all you Facebook people that are listening, yeah, you need to come over to Discord as well. Because it's all a lot of fun. And we're having way more fun than we ever thought we would. I'm really happy and also really jealous that you guys rolled credits on that game. Because I started that game with you. Thank you very much. So that's really cool. I thoroughly enjoy that. I'm glad she's playing games with you. You were playing the one thing that you've done on the Golden Saucer for Final Fantasy. I was watching you do it, and the whole time I'm sitting there, I'm going, is this Genevieve? Did he give her the control? Because it looks like it's Genevieve.
It wasn't. Okay. I don't know what that says.
The boxing was where I was like, you got whacked a couple times.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Genevieve. Okay. So So yeah, all of that to say, I'm really enjoying the fact that your kid is playing video games. Yes,
it is a fantastic thing.
It's a lot of fun. Other than that, we've got a lot of other stuff we could tell you, but we're not going to because he's got to go. So for right now, I'm Jamie, that's Tommy. We are Gaming Uncensored, and we are out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gaminguncensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.